Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the SFLC podcast. I want to thank our sponsors, Dependable Solutions, innovating the future of your small to medium-sized business since 2012. It's 2018. If you're not accepting credit cards, you're losing money. Plain and simple. Learn how you can save 40 to 60% on your overall credit card processing bill by going to dependable-solutions.net. Again, that is dependable/solutions.net. Also, teststrips.com, that is teststrips with a Z.com. Managing diabetes is your business, making it affordable is ours. Sell your extra unused diabetes supplies for up to $50 per box and support a worthy cause. Rated a Better Business Bureau accredited A+ rating for over 5 years. Partnered with 98.5, the Sports Hub, and affiliated with the American Diabetes Association. Make sure to check them out again. That is teststrips with a Z.com.
SFLC Podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the SFLC podcast. Now that I'm kind of in the swing of things, down here in Austin, Texas, you know, we weren't going to let you go too long without getting all of our SFLC interviews and going back and forth between several different MMA promotions and martial arts promotions, and we go right back into it today. You know that we've done a little bit of work with USKA in the past. We've had Rami Ibrahim on the line. We've had Jen. We've had Irv. And we've kind of seen just a little bit of a, I guess for a lack of a better term, hiatus from the USKA promotion. But they are back in full swing. And we've got one of the new people in charge of USKA talking with us right now, Mr. Gary Grant. Gary, thank you for taking the time with us today.
Hey, Ryan, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So you and I were talking a little bit off air, kind of how this transition period went and how USKA tuned out for a little bit. And there were some managerial changes. And you guys are back in the swing of things right now. You've got some events coming up that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But why don't you kind of talk us through how the transition went for you to be in the position that you are right now.
All right, great. So obviously the last USKA show was July 23rd, I believe. 21st to the 23rd. It's either the day before or the day after my birthday. But I have promoted fights. I did 30-plus fights between MMA and kickboxing years ago. And I became very good friends with Irv Althaus. In the kickboxing business, I always thought that he is my best friend, you know. And when I stopped promoting events around 2011, I threw everything I could as far as my weight behind the USKA and helping them develop behind the scenes. So I've literally been working with them on a day-to-day operation since like 2011. So, you know, as things moved on, we moved up to July here this year. We had talked about possibly me taking it over, or Irv selling the USKA because he was just to a point where, you know, his personal life and other things that he had going on in his life. These are passion projects, like you like to say, for a lot of people. And, USKA had been very successful. And I think, Irv and Jen, they both thought that they'd gotten to the point where they had reached a point where they achieved everything they wanted to achieve, and they just had other things in their life. So I hadn't really thought I was going to take over, and until it became a reality after the July show where they just kind of closed it down, and that's when I was like, man, I really want to do this. I've been out of the promotion business for about 7-8 years, and I really want to do this. So you know, me and Irv talk every week. I said, Irv, I think I want to do this. And he says, let's sit down and make a plan. And that's what we did. So the talks had been a couple months before July. But like I said, it really hadn't become a reality until after the July show. And they just said, that's it. You know, we're not moving with this anymore.
All right. And you took it over. And one thing that I know Irv and Jen really prided themselves on as they made USKA really prominent was not just building up athletes into the kickboxers that they are, but really offering a venue and an avenue for younger amateur fighters to come in and fight in Pennsylvania, in New Jersey. And it seems like this is something that's going to continue to keep steam by letting these younger amateurs come in and really just build a resume.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing that they did really, really well is make great matchups. I mean, I don't know how you can match an 0-0 fighter to another 0-0 fighter and have a three-round war and a split decision and the whole crowd's cheering. Like, they just had a knack for making great matches. So we're going to continue with that. And, you know, we're offering a venue for amateurs to develop and for pros to showcase their skills.
Now, much like boxing is concerned, kickboxing also has a few different variations of rules with the different organizations and associations that run kickboxing throughout the world. Now, are you guys going to stay in the same realm that USKA had when Irv and Jen were with it?
Yes. I mean, here's something a lot of people don't realize. Like, USKA has lobbied for a lot of things over the years with the State Athletic Commission here in Pennsylvania. Ultimately, the State Athletic Commission has the final say on what we do for rules here in PA. I mean, we really now are primarily two cents with USKA. The USKA rules and the amateur Muay Thai rules and Muay Thai rules. And again, all of that is dictated to us through the state. And the difference between the USKA rules and the Muay Thai rules are primarily the clinch. And we just limit the clinch to about 5 seconds, similar to like a Glory or a K-1 type deal there. But, I mean, when people come to Pennsylvania, they have to understand that we are limited in what we can do by the State Athletic Commission. And my personal opinion is the Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission is behind the curve on Muay Thai rules. There's no doubt about it. So, but, I mean, we are going to continue with what we've been doing to answer your question. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when I was in Illinois and I started to go to a couple of these mixed martial arts events, one thing that I noticed, and maybe Pennsylvania is similar, you can answer this for me, was that at least at the amateur level, in a kickboxing or an MMA-style fight, they being the fighters, had to wear shin guards. Is that still the rule in Pennsylvania? Or, like we said, is every state really different?
For MMA, they don't have to wear headgear, but shin guards. But in MMA, they now have an advanced set of rules, which opens things up a little bit, and hopefully like to get that in Pennsylvania where the headgear could come off. And, you know, I think people would compromise on the shin guards would be happy to take the headgear off for fighters, not for debut fighters, but for fighters that are shin guards, yes, they're mandatory.
Yes, and not just that, but I've also seen that there's kind of a difference between European kickboxing and your straight Muay Thai kickboxing in the realm of how you're able to strike with your elbows and your knees and when it's allowed. Is it different in Pennsylvania as well?
An amateur fighter in Pennsylvania cannot strike with their elbows, period. An amateur fighter in Pennsylvania can strike with their knees, but not to the head, so they limit that. A pro fighter in Pennsylvania can knee and can elbow to the head, yes.
So when you're trying to matchmake, and I know that you said Irv had done this, when you're trying to get fighters to come in, is that something that you really have to almost have a seminar with them ahead of their fight that says this is what is and is not allowed as far as Pennsylvania Athletic Commission is concerned? Into it.
All right, yeah, as far as the setup, like, for the rules and the day of the fights, I mean, we always have the referee go over everything. A lot of times we'll even have a judge speak as to what they're looking for during the fight that night. But a lot of it comes into play as far as the rule sets and negotiating before the fight. Because, you know, one fighter will call in from a Muay Thai gym, one's pure Muay Thai. A kickboxing gym will call in, you know, they'll take a leg kick fight. But then we end up meeting somewhere in the middle with these USKA rules where we limit the clinch to 5 seconds. And, you know, we try to do best by everyone. So that's the negotiation. And that's usually where the rule sets come into play. And USKA is pretty unique in that because they don't just market to the pure Muay Thai community or the pure kickboxing community or the pure boxing community. We bring everybody together and we negotiate a rule set that works best and is entertaining for the crowd.
Outstanding. Well, before we kind of get into these upcoming events that we have with you, Greg, a little backstory on you. You kind of have this little passion project that you were talking about that you alluded to, something about a square circle ring. If you'd like to get into that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, these days, you know, if you look on Facebook, I'm pretty famous sometimes. and these days it just happens to be for the squared circle. And a little background, you know, I have this business where I build cages and rings for various organizations or gyms, and we rent them out all the time. I got three rentals coming up here in November for cages. And that kind of spawned into, I met the promoters, Dave Feldman and Dave Feldman Jr. at an Art of War fight in Lancaster. And, yeah, I had known them, but they were talking about this concept of a boxing ring in a perfect circle. And, my first question was to them when I heard of it, hey, I ain't gonna bend the ropes in a circle. And, you know, they told me that, there's an idea about putting like 30 some corner posts up and, you know, make it the illusion of a circle. And I'm like, well, that's not really a circle. But then they were talking about turning it into a ring that was made out of PVC plastic. I'm like, hey, I move rings all the time. What happens in the middle of the winter when you throw it in the back of a truck, it starts to crack and break and stuff like that. And, finally they said to me, listen, buddy, do you have a better idea? And I really didn't. I mean, I had thought about it a little bit, but, you know, I came up with a plan, and the next time I saw him in a fight, it was actually in Philadelphia, I believe, at the 2300 Arena at the Art of War, and I brought some materials with me, and I said, here, this is what I want to do, this is what I think we can do, and the whole idea was they wanted a squared circle built for a new plan that they had. It wasn't even legal at the time, a bare-knuckle boxing. And, you know, the term squared circle gets thrown around a lot because in the old days, the bare knuckle fighters used to fight in a circle that was drawn in the dirt. And it eventually, you know, evolved into a boxing ring that we know of today with the ropes. But they wanted to go back and say, we want a boxing ring, but we want it in a circle. So, we took a couple of weeks. We shot some ideas back and forth, and we figured out how to do it. And it's what's now is called the squared circle. It's patent pending. And, you know, we just came back this past weekend from the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships in Biloxi, Mississippi. It's the third legal show in the modern times now. And the squared circle is pretty popular these days.
It is very popular. As a matter of fact, if you listen to a lot of MMA enthusiasts, they're really choosing bare knuckle boxing quite quickly over some of the larger MMA promotions that exist out there. With what you've seen in bare knuckle boxing, is this going to be the new craze, or is this something that, you know, you think has a future as far as American sports?
You know, I think it definitely has a future. I think it definitely is going to have a niche. I mean, the first bare knuckle fight that took place in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Now, let me give you a little background. I go to fights 3 out of 4 weekends a month with my rental business or with the USKA. And so I'm always at fights. And if I'm not doing a play-by-play sitting ringside for USKA, which I've done for the last 5 years, you know, I'll set up the cage and I'll be playing with my phone. Unless there's somebody in the ring that I really want to watch or in the cage that I really want to watch, I'm doing other things because I've seen a lot of fights. And the first night of bare knuckle fights, I had goosebumps, which I never get. I felt a little bit afraid for the fighters because, you know, there was no telling what was going to happen. I was nervous that the ring would work and function the way it was designed to do. But I stood on my feet for all 10 fights that night, and it was just nonstop action. And what I think is unique is when you go to a bare-knuckle fight, you don't necessarily need to be watching a friend of yours or watching someone popular. You can watch any one of those fights, and you're going to be like, holy cow, what was that? I mean, these guys are just it's unbelievable excitement. And, you know, a couple of fighters made the remark at the press conferences that this looks like a real fight. I mean, these guys are just going at it. Tide changes very quickly. There's blood splattering everywhere. So if you like that sort of thing, I think it's going to be great. I think it has a great future.
Well, you've had to well, you've had to deal with athletic commissions before, and it's no secret that places like the state of New York had the longest holdout for even professional MMA. I have a feeling that this is something that bare-knuckle boxing has already discussed moving forward, but what kind of hurdles do you see in the way of bare-knuckle boxing to really make this kind of nationwide rather than having to go to states that you find the loopholes that they don't really have a no against it?
Correct, yeah. Well, you know, my understanding was when we went to Wyoming for this event, is this was going to be the first legal, sanctioned, and regulated event. So, in other words, there had been bare-knuckle boxing in Wyoming before. The problem was it's in the back room of a bar, and they're just guys, they're picking out of the crowd and going at it. And I'm sure there's a certain appeal to that. And I'm sure critics of bare-knuckle boxing are going to say, oh, it's not safe or for this reason or that reason. But certainly, two drunk guys battling it out that never fought before, that's beyond the realm of safe. So this was legal, sanctioned, and regulated in Wyoming. And there was an athletic commission there. There were a rule set there. And there's a lot of oversight, and it was just pretty amazing in that sense. Mississippi, you know, it's legal, sanctioned, and regulated under the athletic commission. So not really looking at loopholes anymore. One thing Dave Feldman said to me, I said, why Wyoming? You know, he said, well, they were open to do it. They were open to regulate it. They were open to sanction it. But he said, we could have very easily done this on an Indian reservation or casino where we could do whatever we want. But he wanted to go the route of getting it regulated, making it legitimate so that we could take it from state to state to state to state and really, really work with it there.
Wonderful. And then we obviously see bare-knuckle boxing and where it's not going anywhere anytime soon. And we appreciate the squared circle that you were able to bring to that, sir. That was definitely a unique take on a cage if I've ever seen one. But as we kind of move back into USK Sports, and I know that I've taken up a lot of your time and I want to really appreciate it. First things first, you have an upcoming event December 8th in Allentown, Pennsylvania at the Parkview Inn and Conference Center. Give us a little bit about what to expect on December 8th for USK's official return.
Well, again, it is December 8th. It is at the Parkview. Now, if you're listening to this and you hear Parkview, it is the Econo Lodge. They're under new management. They're doing a lot of things there. So, but it is the Econo Lodge where we have had the USK fights in the past. We're putting together, I actually have a phone call between the end of this conversation and 4:30 about our main event. We're going to be putting, I don't want to announce it right now because we just don't have it written down and locked in. But I think the main event is going to be very exciting. Two great 175-pounders. You're going to see a lot of the same great things that you see or have seen with USKA in the past. Things you're going to, you know, the ring's going to be a different color. It's going to be covered with some new sponsors. We got this great sponsor with Boom Gloves out of Thailand. We don't have our contract set up now, but I emailed them before we had this conversation. I said, hey, do you want me to mention the Boom Gloves? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. So We're doing this new thing with Boom Gloves. We're doing a new sponsorship with My House Sports Gear for the shin guards and some other apparel. We have some pretty exciting things to announce that just aren't written in stone yet. We have a partner with the Brain Tumor Society where we're going to do fundraisers for them. As far as the fighters go, we got some pretty cool things for them planned as well. We're giving the fighters and vendors who sell tickets for us a percentage of sales of shirts and hats and sweatshirts, something that I don't really think any organization, MMA, boxing, kickboxing, is doing with anyone. But online-wise, we're going to be broadcasting this thing everywhere. The December 8th show is absolutely going to be free. It's going to be on Facebook Live, but it's not only going to be broadcast through the USKA page. It's going to be broadcast through some of our sponsor pages. And I think if you add up all the likes and followers from our sponsor pages, you're looking at 250,000 people. This could potentially be broadcast through. So we're pretty pumped up with that. And I'm just excited to see the events back and put my own personal tweak on things. But December 8th is going to be fantastic for the fighters, the fans, and so with the new sponsorships, we're going to be doing some pretty cool things there.
For the people who are out in the Allentown or even in that part of Pennsylvania, where can they go to purchase tickets ahead of time if they wanted to see this live in Allentown?
Yeah, if you want to see it live in Allentown, you get your tickets at uskafightsports.com. USKA Fight Sports, we tweaked the name of it a little bit as well. So it used to be USKA Fight Sports, or excuse me, uskafights.com. And that site still goes to us, but we're calling it USKA Fight Sports. And you can go there, click on tickets. We made the website. You know, this isn't a website where you're going to go and watch videos. It is very, very well, from your phone. You can just do it with your thumb. You can buy the tickets in like less than 3 minutes. You can register a fight very quickly, become a vendor. Anything you want to do with USKA Fight Sports can be done at that website very quickly from your phone.
Well, thank you for taking that with me, because I was about to say, for those fighters in the area who want to register for a fight, you can also go to uskafightsports.com. Well, Gary, I know that you have another call that you have to get on, and I appreciate you taking all the time that you did with us. But before we let you go, I know that you already mentioned Boom Sports, but moving forward, if you'd like to kind of give a shout-out to all the other vendors and sponsors that are helping put on these events, by all means, take the time, sir.
Well, you know, I will say this before I even start announcing them. USKFightSports.com will be listing them all, because when I miss one here, somebody's going to be upset with me. But Boom Sports Gear, they'll be supplying gloves for the fighters. My House Sports Gear, and they were a big sponsor of our events in the past, and they're gonna be helping us out now. We're partnering up with the National Brain Tumor Society, braintumor.org, and we're going to be doing a fundraiser with them. That kind of, I have a little personal interest in doing it with them. And I just to thank people, we're putting together a great team right now behind the scenes that really hasn't been announced, but the commentators and the people who are going to work in here. I mean, everybody has their own tasks, and we're going to put a pretty good event together with this team of people. And we'll be announcing them shortly. And Irv is still involved heavily with the show. I mean, Irv is going to be the promoter of record for this first show coming back, and he will be there. And so I just want to thank everybody that's involved. And like I said, everything that we talked about here, you'll be able to get that information at uskfightsports.com.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Gary. We look forward to everybody, if they want to see it again, in Allentown, Pennsylvania on December 8th at the Econo Lodge for USKA Fight Sports. Make sure you check that out. And we will be talking with Gary as this fight sport moves forward. Again, we want to thank you for taking the time. Enjoy the rest of your day, sir.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate everything, sir.